Rebecca. All right, so stand again, please. We're going to mess you up this morning. Yep, I'm going to mess you up. So what I want is these two tables brought in to the middle. Come on, pull the tables in this way. And then try to lift. Okay, that's good, that's good. And then the people at the back are going to come and fill up these tables. People over there, you can stay in your seat just because you're new. And let's have some people move over there and sit over there. Let's just move this over. That's good. It doesn't have to go all the way. No, they don't need to touch. Yep, everybody, I want everybody to move, please. No, you guys are not okay. You have to move. No, no, we're good. That's good. That's good. Okay, we're going to make room at the tables. If there's no room for you, we want to make room. All right. That's good. That's good. Thank you all for being so willing. Yeah, that's right. Move the view.
No spitting. I'm in the front row.
I can't guarantee it. All right. One day we won't all fit at two tables. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right. So I want to talk to you about faith this morning. Several years ago, I talked about faith and the journey that we were on, and I just have a sense that it's the season to do this again. And I want to tell you that faith is going to mess you up. You can't step out in faith and be normal, because that's normal, okay? Apathy is not normal for a Christian. For those of us who believe in Jesus, we have to get some passion in there. So your faith, as we step out in faith.
Can you just give me like a 15-minute warning?
For what?
I want to stay and listen, but I have to do something for food.
Go.
So can you give me the 15-minute warning? Can
we? Oh, when I'm almost done. Oh, absolutely. I'm thinking you want to leave for 15 minutes now.
No, I'm going to leave now, but I'm going to come right back.
Stand up. Thank you for wanting to listen.
Just keep talking, but then I'm going to come. You just have to give me 15 minutes.
All right, so I want to tell you a little joke this morning, first of all. It says this: do you ever wake up and kiss the person next to you and feel glad that you are alive? I just did, and apparently I will not be allowed on this airline again. All right, so there are some things in life that's going to mess us up. And I think that we don't need our theology messed with, but we need our faith messed with, because we need somebody, something in life to come along, Robert, and light a firecracker underneath us. And however it's going to happen, I'm telling you this year, it's going to happen. And so we need to build our faith up now while we're in a good place. You're all looking good, so I'm going to make that assumption that we're all in a pretty good place. We all got out of bed this morning, et cetera, and we're here. So we're in a pretty good place. But before I get started, I want to read this. Linda Westerman gave this to me this morning by Kenneth Copeland. And it says, this coming year is not going to be anything like anybody has thought up to now. This is a year of a fabulous outpouring from heaven. Now, let me stop there and add my 2 cents worth. Well, maybe a nickel's worth. It's going to take faith to get there. Because some stuff in the kingdom is not just going to happen. We're going to have to go for it, if you know what I mean. We're going to have to, when we were on holidays, we had a little bit of a volleyball game in the gym. And oh, I could preach just on that volleyball game. Because it takes a team effort, right? There are times when I stood there and I didn't have to go for the ball because Brock was on my side. But there are other times when I had to step forward and do my very best. And so we're in a season where sometimes things just come to us, and they just come, and we say, oh, what's your blessing? God, thank you. Thank you for this blessing. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. But we're in a season now where we cannot be content with just that. We've got to say, God, we want more. For this church, we want more than two tables filled.
That's right.
We do. We do. And it's going to take praying together, 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 together. Yeah, we each, like the volleyball game, do our own thing, but we're part of this team. And so if you, what do they call that? If you bump the ball and it goes in the air, what do you call it when somebody, an assist. Is that what they call it in volleyball? So if I bump the ball in prayer, I'm expecting some of you to come along and whap it over the net. Did you get spit on anybody? Sorry about that. I wasn't looking at you. I was nice to you. That time I was nice. And so I want you to get a visual of what I'm saying, because sometimes we can just boop and it's going to go over. But there are going to be seasons within this season that we are going to have to say, I want this. I want this. I am going to go after it very, very aggressively. I enjoy making the analogy of sports, because most people in sports are not passive. Nobody in sports, nobody on a winning team was passive. If you watch the latest hockey game, at least I think it was the latest, Canada and U.S., you saw two teams that wanted it so bad. Wanted it so bad. And so we as a church, and I'm not just talking about us as the core church, but we as the church at large, guys, we got to go for some of this stuff. And do we believe that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight? Because if we did that, we'd all be over here on Sunday morning. We'd be here on Wednesday night. The problem is, listen to me, the problem is not that we're busy, not that this. The problem is we don't believe, or we just don't want it bad enough. Or we'll let somebody else do it. Linda's praying. Who needs anything else but Linda praying? Right? We can think that way. But that's not how the kingdom works. So it's going to be a fabulous year of an outpouring from heaven. There are going to be notable miracles at the hands of not only ministers in the fivefold ministry, but just among the people. Believers will lay hands on the sick. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit told us last week? Was that it's body ministry, that you are going to begin to do the work of the ministry. Not begin, but carry on, but in a more aggressive way. Watch for the children. Watch for the children coming forth with miracle-working power manifest around them. They are just children, and they will be just children. And I'm not talking, Kenneth Copeland says, about 15 to 20-year-olds. Of course they're involved, but watch the little ones. A child shall lead them. While they are here in this service, there can be an impartation into their lives. Keep an eye on your kids. A couple of weeks ago, did I tell you this already? That Corbin, I think I said this even this morning, that Corbin said to me, I saw Jesus standing right beside you. Like, he's what, 12? How can, you know, these are little kids. Because they believe. They don't say, I don't know, was that really Jesus, or did I get a shadow of something else? No, they saw it, and that was it. But you and I, we vacillate a little bit, don't we? Many things are going to be happening in the kingdom of God in 2017, and it won't be anything like you thought. It'll be grander, greater, and outpouring such as never been seen before, saith the Spirit of grace. So, Father, this morning we say, increase our faith as we hear your word. We are here with mouths open, with spirits open, God, and we say we want your word. We don't want to stay in a place of passivity, of where we're just listening. God, we've got to go further, and we want to go further. So, Father, put some tools into our hand that will equip us and enable us to go to that place, to begin this new year, to go to that place where you want us to be, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So this year, we need to possess a lot of things in order to grow. In our lives personally, as well as a church body. I love what Bill Johnson said, to live in such a way that unless God shows up, what you're attempting to do is bound to fail. This is the nature of the gospel. Did you ever read anything in Scripture where they could do it on them by themselves? Fishermen, you know, people that were disdained by the rest of society. They took the gospel to places. People that, a woman that was just a seamstress, had a Bible study in her home. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. So last week, if you were involved in our prayer at 9:30, the Holy Spirit, if you come at 9:30 and you engage in prayer, you will hear my sermon. You can pick out, Pastor Joy is preaching that. So-and-so prayed that. It's remarkable. It's absolutely incredible how these little things come. And it's not just to, it does encourage the one going to be preaching, but it's also to say, the Holy Spirit saying, I'm here. This is what I want to do this morning. That's why we gather. That's why we pray together. And so last week, the Holy Spirit challenged us, if you heard, to ask, what do you want? What do you want? And if God himself in personal form was here and said to you, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Would we know what we want? Or would we just, well, we pray these little safe prayers. We pray scared prayers, not scary prayers. Lisa Bevere taught on that the other day. We need to pray scary prayers. Prayers that take us out of our comfort zone. Prayers according to the word of God, absolutely. But prayers that will take us out of our comfort zone. And then we need to stand and believe in that. Amen? And so that's why the corporate prayer is so, so important. The same minister, Bill Johnson, was talking, and he said he had his dad, which was, it was such a great interview, because they have in Bethel Church in Redding, California, what they call a culture of honor, in that they honor people, no matter what station they're from, no matter whether they're poverty, no matter what they're like. And so his dad, they were talking about this and how it began, how it got started, and how his dad just loved everybody. People that left and split the church, he would still go visit and pray with. Yes, that happens here. And I'm not there yet. I get annoyed with Pastor Ace when he goes visits people that got mad and left, and you know, I'm getting there. I'm working on it. Yeah, God's working on me. But Pastor Ace is already there. He's just got this. He just honors people, and you know, he just loves people. And so it struck me, because that's just what Bill Johnson's dad was like. And so they had a church of over 600 people. And when the poor and the poverty and the scantily clad came into the church, 65 people were left in that church, because everybody else got mad and said, this isn't church, this isn't how we want to do this. And the pastor would not back down and said, these are people that God loves and cares for them. We are going to honor that, you know. We're not going to place judgments on them. We're going to, you know. Well, only 65 people were left. And he said, but that was a good thing, because we were left with a core of authentic believers. And I think when I heard that, I just felt the Holy Spirit say that we have authentic believers here. I don't think there's anybody here in this room today that's just playing church. I don't think there's anybody that's just here just saying, well, I'll just go and, you know, give my little offering and then, you know, I'll be the same for the rest of the week. No, I believe that we have authentic believers. And so we need to grow together. We need to grow together in the word, and we need to grow together in faith. We need to pray together, as I've already talked about, being on the same page, asking, believing, what do you want for your church? If this is your church, what do you want to see happen in this church? What do you want? What are you looking for? Are we looking to stay like this? Or are we looking for some passion, some people coming in? Yeah, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the glory of the Lord to come, aren't we? Because without it, we're just another nice little talk every Sunday morning. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, wow, things can happen. Amen? So let's pray some scary prayers, not scared prayers, but scary prayers. Prayers that say, God, take us apart and put us back together again. That's a scary prayer. A scary prayer that says, God, we need an associate minister. That's a scary prayer. Because you don't really know that person all that well. You don't have the money to do it. Those are scary prayers, because God is going to answer those prayers and bring people across our pathway. And it's due season for that. It's due season for that. The biggest enemy to prayer is praying for something you already have. The biggest enemy to prayer is praying for something that you already have. I'll let you think about that. So I say, God, let this be a season, a time of the Holy Spirit imparting faith and teaching on faith. Every believer. How many believers do we have in the room? Raise your hands. You believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've accepted him into your life. Amen. Well, then you're all required and expected to walk in faith. And you got saved, for by grace are you saved through faith. So you've already exercised faith. Sometimes when we talk about faith, or people say, oh, you know, I'm living by faith, or you know, anything like that, we kind of think like it seems like such a vague term. So I hope, if it's a right thing to say, I hope that I can take some of the vagueness out of faith as we study a little bit more on it. So we're saved by faith, then we walk by faith, we pray in faith, and we have a shield of faith, which is part of our equipment for battle, isn't it? And we are to take that shield of faith above all. Above all, take the shield of faith. So, you've heard me say it before, and I would, in some things I'm not too gentle in my saying, but I would try to say it gently. Stop complaining about what you don't have. And this is happening. Oh my God, this is happening in my life. Pray some scary prayers over it. You know, we've got family that need to know Jesus. We've got things happening in our life, and we can whine about it, or we can allow the light of Jesus Christ to come in us, through us. Because not just for us. You're saved not just for you. Amen? We're saved so we can take it to the world. So don't complain. It's not wrong to say, I've got these troubles and I've got these struggles. But then we turn that around positive, don't we? And we bring it to the Lord. We make it a praise offering to the Lord. And we bring it to the Lord, and we pray it through. Because God is faithful. Nothing that's happened in your life has taken him by surprise. So faith has to cover every area of our lives. There's a gift of faith. The gift of faith is given for sometimes just to accomplish extraordinary things. I believe that the Lord gave Pastor Ace and I a gift of faith when we stepped out in ministry X number of years ago. We went on the road and we went around to nations, and we drove in, he drove in a car that was breaking down, and you had to plug it in if you went to up north where it was too cold. And I was with him one time, and I said, if I'm going to go with you, this is not happening. I am not, I'll risk my life for the gospel, but I'm not going to be stupid. And so we stepped out in faith, and we bought a new vehicle. Listen, about faith, we didn't have the money for it, but we stepped out in faith because we believed it was God's will. And we paid that vehicle off, and have since have had several more. And so that was a gift of faith that God gave to us. When we bought this building, that was a gift of faith that God imparted to us. We had like 17 people in our church at the time, which was just basically a Bible study. We had started in a school by faith. We did all this stuff by faith. And so there's a, this is not a, but this is a showing to you how we're here this morning because of faith. And not just my faith or his faith, but people came alongside who had faith as well. And so there's, just like any building, if you were to look at this building, there's a foundation. And foundations have to be maintained. And so there's a foundation in the spirit realm of faith here, but it has to be maintained. It has to be looked after. It has to be, oh, you know what? There's this crack happening in this foundation, but you know what? We'll just leave it. We'll move in. We'll build on it anyway. It won't matter. And in a number of years, the whole thing comes crashing down. And so we look around and we might see cracks in our foundation, spiritually speaking. And we have to fix those cracks. And the way we fix them is by faith. And so faith relates to every area of our lives. How does faith come?
By hearing.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. So every time you hear the word, what you're hearing right now, do you see little pew, 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 little bullets of faith going out? Rebecca looks afraid. little, you can catch faith this morning. You might have come in and said, I don't know, I just don't have the faith for my circumstances. By the time we're done this morning, you can say, now I have faith for it. Because you heard the word. If all I said to you was faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that's the word of God, that might be all you need. That might be all you need. And so we need faith, and we need our faith muscle to grow now. We need our faith muscle because I don't know what's going to happen next week or tomorrow or when I walk out of this place. But if I've got my faith muscles built up instead of, I'm just going to run to the faith gym because this horrible situation has happened, you are going to get hurt, massively hurt, because you're going to try to lift something that you have not worked out. You haven't worked it out. But we've sat in church. We've sung songs. We've heard the word. Pisha's, you have enough faith to take you through the next couple of weeks as you go to that funeral. You have enough faith for that because you've got faith muscles. What kind of person can stand up and lead worship last week, be on the worship team, this week lead worship when your brother has just suddenly died? Who can do that? Someone who's built their faith muscle. Someone who's built their faith muscle. Amen? And so faith comes by hearing. We need our faith, and we need to build our faith muscle now. Now. Don't think, well, you know, next week I'll get up in the morning and I'll purpose to have my devotions. No, now. If you missed it this morning having your devotions, you owe it to God to go home. You owe it to yourself to go home and say, I don't even care if you just take your Bible and go in the bathroom for 10 or 15 minutes and read the word. Just read the word. Pretty soon you won't be snatching little times of the word. You'll be saying, oh, I got to get up and read the word. And not just because we're broken and we need healing, but because we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. So whenever anything goes wrong, if we've been building our faith muscle, then we respond the way that God wants us to respond. We respond according to the word of God. If we find ourselves not responding to the word of God, it means I need to I need to examine some faith in my life. God, I respond badly to some things. And so God, help me. I need to be prepared. There's just nothing worse than not being prepared, is there? Your alarm goes off at 7 o'clock. You're supposed to be at work at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, whatever. And you take X number of time to get ready. Your alarm doesn't go off, or you fall back to sleep, or you press the snooze button. How many times does that snooze button work anyway? At least 15. I can witness to that. You know? And then you get up and you're rushed. And, oh, God, I'm sorry, I slept in. No, you made a choice to sleep in. That happens when you don't have enough sleep. And so we need to build our faith muscle. And because then when the enemy comes and tries to put inroads into our life, then we have the faith to stand against it. Take the shield of faith. What happens when you take the shield of faith? What do you quench? fiery darts of the enemy. So you take the shield of faith. And if your shield has not been soaked in the word and used, it's not going to be as effective as it could be. Ephesians 6:10, let me read it to you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10, put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. You know there's a devil, right? You know he's got schemes against you. It's not just a fairy tale. It's bigger than good versus evil. Because even the good of this earth isn't really good like it should be. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual evil forces in the heavenly realm. Therefore, whenever there's a therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Why? So, because of all this, you are to put on the full armor of God, so that not if the day of evil comes, but when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then. I think God wants us to stand. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Did you know that was part of your spiritual armor? You can't lie and live in a fantasy world of lies and expect your armor to work. Take the belt of truth buckled around your waist. I won't go into detail on this, but it's worth looking into. Take the breastplate of righteousness, put it in place, and let your feet be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And then in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the shield of faith. It doesn't come automatically. We pick it up, we take it up, and we quench all the fiery darts. And so as a church body, as Christian people, as we move forward, we need faith. We need to increase our faith. And if faith comes by hearing the word of God, then we need to increase the word of God in our life, don't we? And everything that you see, we're not a bunch of, and I don't mean any disrespect, but we are not in the profession of nuns or anything like that. We don't put ourselves away in a little bubble, and I'm not a scribe, and all I do is sit and read the Bible. We have lives, amen? Well, yeah, we have lives. We have lives. Some of you, your lives are on Facebook. But we have lives. When we need to live those lives by faith. And so when I'm just going to say it. When I make a choice to feed my soul realm of worldly things, not even bad worldly things, not sinful things or anything like that, just more of the world, you know, it tops up the flesh part rather than the spirit part. And so in our living diet, there's got to be a time when I receive the word. There's got to be a time when, whether it's I watch somebody on television that's got a great ministry and I can get behind that ministry, I what they say is theologically sound in our realm, et cetera, then I watch that person. Then my faith level comes up a little higher. And we top up our faith that allows us, when the devil throws darts at us, I can pick up my shield of faith because it's right there. It's right there ready. And so faith covers every area of our life. When it does, we have the shield of faith and we quench the fiery darts of the enemy. So practically speaking, because I'm a very practical person, if the word does not work, then let's find something that does work. But it does work, amen? Scripture the Bible's very practical. So what are some fiery darts that the enemy can throw at us? A fiery dart is something that'll take you out, right? Because if I don't have my shield of faith, it's going to hit me. And I'm going to, I don't know why that happened, God. I don't know why I prayed for so long for this and this and this to happen. And it seems like the opposite happened. And unless I take my shield of faith that says, no, you never let go through the dark, through the storm, through the calm, you're always there. You see what you're saying this morning? That's there to build your faith. It's not just, let's get you happy so the preacher can preach a message and you'll be ready. But that's me saying, God, here's what my faith is. My faith says, no, you'll never let go. And I might not be singing, John 3:16, but I'm singing the principle and the premise of the scripture. And so it builds my faith and I can take the shield of faith. And so fiery darts are... There are big things. There are big things like adultery and hatred and, the top 10. You'll have no idols before you. Yes, they are those things. Those are absolutely fiery darts. And let me say that most of the time, we're aware of that because we're Christians and we're the church. And so I'm aware that when I'm tempted in that area, I flee that. I'm gonna quit my job because that person is hitting on me and they're the boss and I can't do anything about it. And I've prayed about it. It keeps happening. So I'm either going to fail and buy into that or I'm going to leave. I'm going to not work in that place again. Those are extreme measures of faith that we have to take sometimes. And they're big things. But there's also what we might think as small things. Things like discouragement. That can be a fiery dart that we don't see happening because it's just small. It's probably just me and I'm just going through something. Discouragement will take you out. It'll destroy your faith. Hopelessness, bitterness against a person, unforgiveness. Oh my goodness. Unforgiveness is huge, but it comes as this little fiery dart. Just being hurt. I just got hurt by someone. How many people do you know got hurt in church and they don't darken the doors of church ever again? Why? Because they got hurt. They didn't recognize this as a fiery dart of the devil. And we need to begin to recognize the plans and the schemes that the enemy has against us, fiery darts. Insecurity is a huge fiery dart because you'll never do anything if you think you can't do it. It's going to take faith. But I'm so insecure. Oh, my goodness, I could never do that. Just step out in faith and watch God do something awesome. And so it relates to every area of our life. The possibility for your life and mine when we walk by faith are as high as our faith can stretch. And you know that all through Scripture, God sent men and women on a journey of faith. Young ones, old ones. You fit yourself in there somewhere. Didn't matter. Rich, didn't matter. There was a rich young ruler. He got him saved, but there's nothing in the scripture that says that he went on and, shared the gospel or anything else. He probably lived a good life. Jesus saved him, yet it was the poor fishermen who were poor. They didn't have a lot of money. They even asked about paying their taxes. Do I really, now that I'm saved, do I have to pay my taxes? Hello. Right? And so it doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. It doesn't matter our station in life, whether we're rich, whether we're poor. The people that he called in Scripture and today, what mattered was that they obeyed. When we stepped out in faith and began our traveling ministry, we didn't have what it took. Not in any realm, we didn't have what it took. That doesn't sound right. But anyway, we didn't have what it, we just didn't have it. But we depended on the Lord and we felt the Lord calling us. And so we were obedient to that. That's what God requires because obedience is based on faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's the only way you're going to please God. And it's not a beaten down, it's a, I love God, so I want to please him. It's not, oh, we have to please Jesus or he's not going to be happy with us. No, it's based on this love relationship that God has with me and I have with him, that God, I'm going to step out in faith. And then there's the trust factor, isn't there? Because I'm going to trust God that as I step out in faith, then you are either going to make it happen or you're going to close the door. And stop worrying about whether you're going to look foolish or stupid or anything like that. Just get that right out of there. That's another fiery dart that comes on the basis of pride. Well, I don't want to look foolish. You know some of the things that the Lord has had me do? Yes, you do, because I've done them here. And you look foolish. But I think, well, God, I just believe you told me to do it. Why would you tell me to shove tables together this morning and make people so uncomfortable? Well, I don't know, but as I told you to do it, it came to me. Because faith is messy. It's not this neat little package. And so they were men and women in the scripture who were made of the same stuff that you and I are made of. But they were called to walk in faith. And of course, our father of faith was Abraham. Radical step of faith. God called him. Listen, he wasn't 20 years old. He was 75. 75. Any 75-year-olds in the room? Not yet, eh, Pastor Ace? Not quite. 75! And he took his family. You see, I think, okay, I'll go this hard road. If it's a hard road of faith, I'll go it on my own. But no, he took his family. The things that we care most about, God can protect when we step out in faith. I think I've told you the story of when we were up in Gilmore and they had revival meetings and they had a week or two of camp and we would go and our kids would go, but our kids would go not because they wanted to go, if you know what I mean. And so our son would sit there with his arms crossed. And I didn't pray scary prayers. I prayed scared prayers for him. God, please save him. Please, Jesus, get a hold of his life. Instead of, God, break his legs if he's not going to serve you. Yeah, you heard that in church. David prayed prayers like that. God, do something. Get a hold of this man, et cetera, et cetera. Scary prayers. Because we want this saved. God, oh, the pastor kicked him out of church because he just sat in the back and talked the whole time. How mean is that? That's not mean. That's rescuing somebody. I heard one amen anyway. And so I would be up at the front and they'd call me up and I'd be up at the front praying and prophesying over people and laying hands on people. And then I'd go and sit down because my heart was so heavy. My son, what's he doing? Look at my eye over there. Oh my gosh, he's chatting with people. Oh, chatting with people. God, shut his mouth. Make that person move out of the way. And I'd pray all these stupid prayers, you know. And then they'd call me again at the front. So I'd go and I'd lay hands on people. And my friend Arlene said to me, you know, I've been watching you and I've been watching your son. And she said, every time you sit in the pew and watch what's happening up at front, Jeff just moves away and chats with people. But when you go up and you begin ministering to people and praying for people, it's like the Holy Spirit gets a hold of him as well. And he's drawn in. And I realized that me walking in faith, doing what I am called to do for God, blesses and ministers to other people that I don't even know about. But if I just sit back and get in my little worry and get my little demonic little worry dolls, you know, we all have them. We don't have them laying in our hands, but it goes through our mind, all this stuff we worry about, our family, this, that, what about this, what about that? And they're fiery darts, guys. And we need to take our shield of faith and say, God, this is for our church. These are the words that you've given to our church. Are we going to stand on them? Are we going to wait for that due season, or are we going to wait in faith? And so Abraham took that radical step. Hebrews 11:8 says, he went out not knowing where he was going. Not knowing. You know, sometimes, we have a more mature crowd. I don't mean, no. Age-wise, okay, you know, except for Brad. And so he's one of the young ones. Come on, take that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so we often think that it's the young ones. They've got the strength. They've got the to get it done. I saw a girl yesterday. I was at a very unique wedding. And one of the girls there, she had this side of her head shaved. And then this part was beautiful blonde and long. Oh, I thought, oh, I'd love to get my hair cut like that. But then I realized, nah, I'm too old for that. I'll leave that for the young people. But I loved it. And sometimes we think that it's going to be the young people in the spirit realm that are going to be the radical ones, that are going to be the ones because they've got it, and they're going to step out in faith for God. But I want to tell you something. Those of us who are 50 plus, Abraham, 75 years old, did not say, you go ahead, I'll back you up. Here's my foot. I'll push you out the door because I'm sure God's not talking to me because I'm too old for this. And sometimes I say that to God and he just gives me a slap and brings me into correction. Because to God, age has nothing to do with it. What has to do with it is my obedience, which is locked into my faith. And so today, if we did something like that, they'd call us crazy, wouldn't they? They already do. When we try to stand in faith, when you try to tell an unbeliever or someone who's not walking in belief, I don't mean an unbeliever and they don't believe in Jesus, but their faith level is low. They're in the safety zone. Your safety, your comfort zone is not a place of safety. Just because you're comfortable doesn't mean it's safe. And so they call us crazy. But I hope somebody in your life and I hope somebody in my life tells you you've got crazy faith. Not fear, but faith. Listen to this. Fear looks like wisdom to those in unbelief. You should be writing that down. Fear looks like wisdom to those in unbelief. How many times have people said to Pastor Ace and I, he broke his leg once, had a cast on, still got in his car, and drove up north to preach. Right? He's done all kinds of crazy things like that. But fear looks like wisdom. People said, don't go. Somebody else can do it. And one of those people was me. Don't go. Let this said somebody else can do it. Fear. Fear is not faith. It looks like wisdom to those of us who are walking in unbelief. And let me tell you something, that faith looks like pride and arrogance to those in unbelief. I'm going to say that again. Because we had people call us, who do you think you are to start a church, start a Bible study? You haven't even been to Bible school. You haven't even completed high school. People said these things to us. You're going to crash and burn. I take authority over those dirty words that the devil throws at us, right? We stand in faith. Has God called us or hasn't God called us? That's the deciding factor right there. That's the line that we draw. Has God said? And we say, yes. Or we back off and say, no, then it must be something else. But has God said? Faith often looks like pride or arrogance to those in unbelief. One of my best friends said that to me a number of times. You're just doing this out of pride. You know, you guys are, you know, came out of an outlaw motorcycle gang. Can God use somebody like that? I don't know, but I'm going to try. That would have been a good place to say amen. Yes, he can. They would tell us in our church as we go back, he'd go out to Full Gospels and really hundreds of people will get saved during that season of the gospel being poured out. And we'd come back and we'd share at Bible study and they'd look at us like, I don't believe you. But nobody would say it out loud, but they thought it. They never prayed for us when we went out because they didn't believe that God could use ordinary people. Faith level, it's got to rise. God can use you. God can use me to change a church, change a family, and to change a nation, God can use us. So there's another thing about unbelief. It oftentimes looks like humility, and it can become a way of life when we see it as a virtue. Oh, I could never do that. I can't really sing that song. How can I be on the worship team? Humility is false humility, right? Because Scripture says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where are the people, young and old people, that are going to begin to dig our shovels in and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through this. I can get through this. I am not going to be a failure. That is not going to be what defines me. What defines you, my dear, is the Word of God. That's what is defining you. Not what circumstances have said. But what defines me is the Scriptures, the Word of God. And He's a good, good Father. And the stuff that might be happening to me that might be bad stuff, that's not from God. But He's going to see me through that. He's going to see me through that. Father, I break off failure in the name of Jesus. Right now, I take authority over failure that has gripped some of us here in this place, so afraid to step out and do something. Father, because my dad failed, and so I'm going to walk in that generational curse. But God, today I break that power of the enemy. I reveal that fiery dart coming at us as a Joshua center. In the name of Jesus, I break that power off. I take authority over words of failure that have been spoken over us. Father, I take authority even over sometimes medication that we've taken that lulls us into that sleep. And so, God, I take authority over that in the name of Jesus. And we take our shields of faith and we quench every fiery dart that the enemy throws at us. In the name of Jesus. We agree together in prayer. When two or more agree as touching anything, it shall be done. Oh, it shall be done. No! Can you imagine God saying if you can find one other person to agree with you in prayer, it'll be done. Yeah. I'm sorry, but that thrills me. I don't have to find 15, 20, 30 people to agree with me. That's a difficult thing. But I can find one. I can find one and say, will you agree with me in prayer? Let's agree together. What do you think God wants to do in this circumstance, in this situation? I'm sorry. I hope I'm not frightening you. Don't be nervous. And so we agree in prayer. And what we have to agree in prayer in right now, all of us, we have to agree that unbelief will be taken out of our life. Don't be so proud to say, I don't have unbelief. Yeah, you do. We all have a little bit of unbelief, whether it comes to healing, finances, the growth of our church. Are we ever going to do this? Is this ever going to happen? Am I ever going to be free from this disease? We all have a little bit of unbelief. So one of the places that we can agree on, God, take that unbelief out of me. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe again, Jesus. That's a scary prayer. Abraham, his faith allowed him to obey the urging of God and step out into the unknown. That's what your faith can do. Moses went from Egypt to Canaan and caused a whole generation to enter the promised land. One man who said, God, I'll believe. Look at Noah. I mean, Noah's a huge example of faith, isn't he? Building a boat on dry land when they haven't even seen land. We haven't even seen rain before. We don't even know what it is. That was crazy faith. Yet he did it. The urgency of God. Elijah journeyed for 6 weeks to Mount Horeb, and his faith allowed him to enter into a fresh encounter with God. Are you ready for some fresh fire and some fresh encounters with God? I am. I don't want the same old. No, I don't want that. Well, I'm going to take my shield of faith. I'm going to quench fiery darts, and I'm going to begin to obey, and I'm going to walk in faith greater than I have been before. This is not about we haven't done it before. We have. This is about let's go to the next level. Let's take another step. Okay, forget the level. Let's take another step. Maybe even just a baby step in faith. Jesus, you think Jesus had to walk by faith? Yeah, he did. He laid aside his godness. He laid aside his deity. He was a man just like you or I when he came to earth. And so he had to walk in faith. He walked. How did he walk in faith? I only do what I see and hear the Father doing. Oh, that's what the Bible is. I only do what we see and hear what the Father's doing. What's God saying in his word? Well, then I'm going to do it. When God says, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. So I'm going to do it. God says to believe for the impossible. I'm going to do it. Right?
Yeah.
We're going to believe. Jesus came, and by faith, he rescued mankind. All of us. They all acted in faith. They accomplished what God called them to do, and they did it by faith. Paul journeyed around the world into unknown areas, planting churches. How? By faith, bringing revival. So, what about our journey of faith? Again, let me go back to that volleyball game or any other sports thing. You hear people on the team say, I'm over here. I'm wide open. Nobody else is around me. I'm wide open. Shoot me the ball. I can score. Shoot me the puck. I can score. Because I'm, say it together, wide open. And so we say to God, God, I'm wide open. I'm wide open for you. I don't know what it means. I don't know if you're going to shoot me the puck or not. But I'm positioned here. And I'm wide open, Holy Spirit. I'm wide open for you. Who knows what it will accomplish? I'm going to read Hebrews 11 in closing. Am I closing? Well, yes. Hebrews 11, 1 to 16. Now faith is confident in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. Did you read how I read that? Not now faith is, but now faith. Because we had faith to get saved. We had faith to walk this far. But this now faith that says, I'm wide open, God. You know, nobody. People in scriptures, when they walked by faith, they didn't get there by their own sweat. You know how it happened? You did it this morning. I surrender. That's how they get there. God, I just surrender to your will. I can't do this. Don't have any skill. Don't have any training. I can't do it. But you said to do it, so here I am, God. I'm wide open, wide open. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So if you might be sitting here thinking, I don't have enough faith. I don't have that kind of faith. How many of you believe that God created heaven and earth, that God created the earth? Why do you believe that? By faith. That's how you believe that. So you didn't even know. You just thought you just believed it. That's the simplicity of faith. It's not complicated. We make it complicated. We overthink it. It's not complicated. It's just believing. You said you'd be here Sunday morning to lead worship. I had faith that you'd be here. Just simple. You always keep your word. You always do what you say you're going to do. God's the same. Keeps his word. He said he was going to do this. So by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And by faith, verse 4, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteousness. Listen to all the stuff that faith does. When God spoke well of his offering, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death. Who knows about Enoch? What great thing did he do? Hardly know anything about him. There's hardly anything in scripture about him. God saw his faith. Because without faith, it's God. Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And here it is. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who are earnestly seeking him. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. How did he do that? He did that by faith. He just got out there with a hammer and saw and some gopher wood and started to build by faith, because faith is action. Faith never, if you have faith, something action-wise is going on, because it's an action word. Faith never lies dormant. It's never just laying there. It always produces something. By faith, Noah commended the world and condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. But that was his inheritance. He didn't even know he was going after his inheritance. He just obeyed God. So how do we really don't even know what, when we step out, when we walk in faith, we don't really know that we're going after our inheritance. As we step out as a church body by faith, we're going after our destiny. God told us that he wanted us here, that nobody could do what we could do in the center of the city. That he had planted us here for a reason. That's not pride. That's not arrogance. Right? I'm not proud or arrogant about that. It's just, okay, God, then give us that unique anointing. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Listen, let's not be too hard on Jacob. Sometimes we think Jacob, oh my gosh, he stole the inheritance. His name is mentioned more in Scripture than any other name other than Jesus. His name, the name Jacob, which was later changed to Israel, is mentioned more times in the Scripture. Isn't that the grace of God? Isn't that the grace of God saying, you know, you messed up, but you know what? I'm going to use you. God can use people that mess up. If we know how to repent, if we know how to get back and take our shield of faith, he can use us. They had the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children. Why? How? Not because of the seed of her husband, not because they came together in unity, but because she considered him faithful. We can have babies when we're over 90 years old by faith. You don't have to pray that prayer. And so from this one man, he as good as dead. Now, you know what that means, good as dead? Was that his seed was not producing. So it was just him. He was as good as dead. Nobody else to carry on his inheritance. And so from this one man came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. How does that happen? By faith. By faith. It sounded simple. By faith, when God called him, he went. How hard is that? Got a call last night because somebody wanted us to go somewhere. We had 5 minutes to change. I want to tell you, we can look good in 5 minutes.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Thank you, Jay. And so we went. Somebody called. We went. Simple. Wasn't difficult. Somebody called, so we went. God is like that. He just calls, so you go. And then you let him fulfill all of those things that he's promised. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They hadn't received the things promised, but they were still living by faith. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Oh, somebody needs to write a song about from a distance. Right? From a distance. Do we see these things from a distance? I don't see that sanctuary filled yet, but we've had prophecies about it, and so we see it by a distance. I was in the prayer room upstairs for a couple minutes just this morning by myself. I opened the door and said, we're still coming. We're still coming. Due season's coming. I don't know when, but I see it by a distance. That's what faith does. That's what faith is. That's not hard. If I plan a vacation, plan a holiday, boy, I tell you, I see that beach. I see it from a distance. I look pictures on the internet. I look at it. I look it up. I get my bathing suit ready. I get number 4 suntan lotion ready. Because I see it from a distance by faith. You see, it's not hard. It's not hard. We think faith is so hard, but it's not. It's simply saying, God's told me to do this. You get up, hopefully, every morning or sometime during the day and go to work. You go by faith. You see your paycheck. You don't know you're going to get it. For all you know, that company could go bankrupt and they could say, you know, the Porky Pig thing, bleep, 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 that's all, folks. And you could just, that could be it. So you have faith that I'm doing my work. I'm doing what my boss tells me to do. So I'm going to get my reward at the end of it. It's God is like that. It's not hard. It's not hard to walk by faith. We just need to walk it out. So let's notice something about faith. There's great faith. They all had great faith, but it did not come by their effort. It came by their surrender. Great faith comes by great surrender. Faith sees things afar off. Faith is persuaded. You get persuaded by faith? Yeah. Faith persuades us. Faith, by faith, we embrace those things. We embrace, like Pastor Ray says when he hugs you, oh, my arm is stuck. You know, he embraces. Embrace. That's how you embrace. You know, just, this isn't embracing. I'm not embracing Brock. But I'm embracing him. I'm embracing. I just embraced faith. Right? So I embrace it. I'm right now I'm shaking faith's hand. And in Jesus' name, it's time to embrace some faith. It's time to grab hold of it. And confess, you know what? I'm only here temporarily. I've got a home up in heaven. But I'm here to do something while I'm in this temporary place. I'm here to believe. And so our journey is into faith, is into God. Romans says, I'm going to finish with these few verses. Whatever is not of faith is sin. It's like a big wave coming out. It doesn't just knock the stuffings right out of you. Whatever is not of faith is sin. I said that to Pastor Ace as we went to this place last night. And I said, we have to go by faith. We have to go believing that God wants us to go. Otherwise, we're sinning. Oh, doesn't that just make you go, blah? Kind of like readjust here, you know? And so we need to be conscious of faith and doing things by faith. Romans also says, the just live by faith. We live by faith. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live this life by faith. And faith is what God responds to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Everyone in this room put their hand up when we talked about being a born-again Christian. And so, Father, we've already have saving faith. But now, God, we want to take the next step. We've come a long way in our journey of faith, God. You commend us for that. I know that. But, Lord, we want to step a little deeper. We want to go a little higher. We want people to look at the core Christian family church and say, those people are crazy. They have crazy faith. I want to see wheelchairs lined up and people walking. I want to see disease and healing. I want to see people reconciled to you. God, in order for all that, we have to say increase our faith. And so this week as we walk through some things, we pray that we will take the shield of faith. And with that shield, we quench every fiery dart the enemy throws at us. Everyone, not some, all of them. And so, Father, let there be this morning, as we sit at these tables, let there be an impartation of faith. Let there be your word rising up within us when I go through my day-to-day activities, let there be your word rising up within us that says, I take the shield of faith, by faith. Father, we read of your sons and daughters in Scripture, and what they accomplish by faith is just astounding. And yet it's for us today. It's not just history. I'm not just reading a history book. I'm reading something that says, I want you to do the same things. So God, we throw our hands up and say, increase our faith. We surrender. We say, we're wide open. Here we are. We're wide open. Throw us the ball. Shoot us something, Holy Spirit, because we're wide open. And we're ready. We're ready, God. We are a group of authentic believers. Authentic believers. And so, God, we thank you. Take this message. In all of its simplicity and fumbling, take it. Use it, Holy Spirit, to instill faith. Faith, faith, faith. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.